episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected is brought to you by Bridgeside Medical Clinic, Chesapeake Integrated Behavioral Healthcare, and Edgar Casey's ARE.
Now more than ever, we have an opportunity to be a positive force in the world, to help heal the divide, to treat each other and ourselves with respect. But with so many tools out there, from meditation to physical training, proper nutrition, therapy, and so many others, we all need a little help navigating all the options. Join us as we share in-depth information, insights, and thought-provoking discussions that will help answer your questions about how to stay calm, cool, and connected during these times. Welcome to Calm, Cool, and Connected, your guidebook to peace of mind.
Hello, and welcome to Calm, Cool, and Connected. I'm your host, Dr. Elizabeth Bedrick. Dating can be, well, interesting to say the least. With so much advice and opinions out there on narcissists, boundaries, red flags, green flags, it can get so overwhelming to know the most effective and healthy way to go about this process. Joining us today is Jacob Lucas. Jacob is a dating coach who is going to give us some insight and quick tips on making the dating process a bit smoother. Hi, Jacob. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here. Tell us a bit about yourself and the work that you do in the dating field.
So I'm a professional dating coach from the UK. So basically what I do is I give people tips online and I help people with clients one-to-one, stuff like that, about how to be more successful when dating.
And how would you describe a dating coach? Like what are some of those responsibilities that you take on? What do you do as a dating coach?
The best way to describe it is, right, so I always get asked this. The best way to describe it is you're like their friend who knows what they're doing when it comes to relationships. If like, and then we have a friend we've talked to, like, oh, this guy's texting me this, what do I say? I'm basically that guy who knows what to say. You ever seen the film Hitch? That's basically what it is, Hitch.
Okay.
That's basically what I do.
Got it. And what is your approach from like a psychological, analytical, what approach do you take to this coaching?
Definitely psychological one. Everyone has algorithms in how they behave to a certain degree. People react upon patterns. There's patterns in society, there's patterns in culture, there's patterns for everything, like you know yourself. And you can kind of like use this to understand how the next step is gonna go. Mm. So you're dating somebody, you can see what's gonna happen next if you know what you're looking for from a psychological aspect.
And what do you find to be some of like the biggest struggles that people face in the dating world?
Biggest struggle, you know what I actually come across is overthinking. So overthinking all stems from anxiety. Anxiety is one big one. Do they like me? Am I good enough? Am I saying the right thing? Am I saying the wrong thing? Am I wearing the right clothes? These are all anxiety questions. You know, would he like me? You don't know that yet. It's like a what if question. If you put what if before the question, you overthink it and that's anxiety. What if they don't like me? Well, what if they do like me? So that's the biggest thing I come across is overthinking and negative thoughts. And then people get in their own head. And another big thing I come across as well is definitely the dating culture. It's very fast moving. Hookup culture is quite a big thing at the minute. But you need to navigate your way around that so you can see the red flags at the start so you don't fall for these traps that people are laying. Because there's a lot of people who do lie out just to get sex. They tell you what you want to hear, but there's always idiosyncrasies in their behavior that you will point that if you know what you're looking for, like I've got you, I know what you're about. So I kind of help people with that as well. So they'd be like, this guy's great, this guy's amazing. I'm like, but he said this 2 weeks ago. I'm telling you now, this will end up this way because he showed he is a crack in the armor. So it's stuff like that.
Got it. Okay. So you're helping them to pick up on potential red flags that through behaviors you notice from patterns and from doing this for so long, but that other people might.
Absolutely. It sounds really arrogant. When you do it for so long, again, you know yourself, you become a little bit like a psychic. You know exactly what's going to happen. And people look at you like, how do you know that's going to happen? Like, well, this isn't, you're not the only case in the world. This is ubiquitous.
Yes. Well, and human behavior is rather predictable. And so you're
absolutely
right.
Absolutely.
Yes. So I'm going to give you a couple quick fire questions as your TikTok is known for you giving these quick tips. So we'll see how many we can get through. Let's start with three ways to flirt with a man using body language.
Okay. So easy one is breaking a touch. I mean, a bit about this went viral actually. So when you're talking to somebody, if you're talking to sat down, talking to them, put your hand on their knee, but don't make it weird. Don't like start caressing them. But oh my goodness, I have such an amazing story. You would not believe it. Put your hand on the knee, about 2 seconds, take it off. Just literally touch. Sounds weird, but it breaks the touch barrier. So when you go kiss them down the line, it won't feel as awkward because you've already broke that touch barrier. Second one could be show your neck. That's a big one. Showing neck is a body language, is from the animal kingdom, if you will. It's a display of like submission and feeling comfortable around each other. So if you're talking to a guy and you want him to know on a subconscious level that you're comfortable around him, show your neck a little bit, expose it a little bit. And the very last one is probably with a compliment. You say, I love what you're wearing. You could just say that like that. Or you could say, I love what you're wearing. Oh my goodness, it's so nice. And then literally just touch it for half a second. It's not weird. It's just, oh my, I love your clothes. And take it off. But again, you probably have a touch barrier and then think, oh my goodness, like that's quite hot.
Yes, which then gets them thinking about breaking the touch barrier as well, which is...
it just feels more comfortable. It's a game of chess, right. Not checkers. Yes. Like when you first meet and give them a hug, right? Because then later down the line, it feels more natural. Do you touch it?
Right.
Stuff like that. And then when you do kiss, it's not a big deal, you know?
Yes. And I think the biggest part of that is I like how you're saying to just for a second or two, that is a brief motion versus making it awkward.
Make it socially acceptable. Anything that's not socially acceptable is weird and you're considered a bit socially inept. Make it socially acceptable when it's quite hot.
So how about a couple of ways to send a text to somebody you're interested in?
Oh, that's a good question. So texting, I've learned it's not so much what you say, it's when you say it. Sounds weird, right? So obviously don't be weirdo, like talking about really weird stuff, but texting comes down to the frames. It's all about socializing and the frames, if you will. To build attraction, you always want to come from a stronger frame or an equal frame. You never want to come from a lower frame. So let's say, for example, let's say me and you were texting, let's say we're dating and we're texting. If I start sending you double texts, so two texts in a row, you're thinking this guy's in need. I'm not interested in this, right? But I got him whenever I want it. But if we're texting and it's normal and I'm not overdoing it, let's say, for example, if I respond to a text like that every 5 seconds, but does this guy not have a life? And just start thinking in your head, is he putting a lot of pressure, like just for me, called like one-itis, if you will. Is he putting like a lot of pressure on me for like, you know, to want his back? It's just a bit weird, you know? But if you wait a little bit and actually live your normal life, go to the gym, go to work, talk to your friends, and you text back in a normal time and manner, it comes across a lot more attractive than if you're taking specific time out to text that person. That's the biggest thing, because conversation, it's just exactly the same conversations we have in normal life. It's not so magic line. It's more about frames.
Yes. And I can completely relate to that, because that is one of the biggest turnoffs for me as I am single and in the dating world, and that really quick fire text, because there's also then this like almost obligation to keep up with it. And who has time for that? So I think there's multiple reasons why that is unattractive.
You find a guy, he's a 10 out of 10 looks wise, but if that guy is needy on text, he goes down to a 2 pretty fast, right?
I would agree. Yep. So tell me, what are 2 red flags that people should be aware of?
Like this one I come across a lot. The people who go on a first date, so you're a doctor, you're a psychologist, you know what you're doing. People say the word trauma too easily, right? People with trauma do not talk about trauma, fact, unless they're talking to a professional or someone they're extremely comfortable around. People who've been through stuff don't talk about it. If you get like an army veteran, for example, horrific PTSD, you will not get that out of them. Not a chance. Mm. When you're on a first date with someone and they start saying like about trauma, been through this or been through that, and you use that word, be careful, because why are they using that word? That's a big one I was saying. Another one is, what would I say? Probably someone's really late.
Hmm.
Because it shows that they just don't give a hoot, if you will. Careful what I said there.
Yeah.
They don't give a hoot about your time. It's quite disrespectful. I always think a guy should be 10 minutes early to a date so he doesn't have to leave a woman waiting. I always think that a gentleman will always show up at least 5 minutes early because he doesn't want a girl to wait. If he goes in traffic and it's late and it's like an accident on the road, it is what it is. But if he's late, then that's a red flag because it shows you don't care about your time and he hasn't got good manners. Sounds simple, I know, but simple stuff is important.
Yeah. No, and I think that's great insight because those are behaviors that a lot of people will look past. And the first one could be really manipulative and the second one could have, those self-absorbed tendencies. And if they're willing to be that self-absorbed on the first date, they're it's probably just going to get worse from there. So
have you ever met a guy on the first date who was late and it went well? No.
I don't think that's a thing. So Jacob, tell us, where can people find you? Where are you on social media?
So my JacobLucas101 on TikTok and Instagram, and also my website, jacoblucasdating.com. That's probably the best way to find me.
Well, very good. Thank you so much, Jacob. We appreciate the insights today.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure meeting you.
You as well. And thank you all for tuning into this episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected. Please make sure to find us on Facebook and Instagram, and also make sure to rate and subscribe to our podcast so that others can discover our content as well. Thank you again for joining us on this episode of Calm, Cool, and Connected.